Com. We do, what do we do over there, Josh? Previews, recaps, randomness, rankings, bold guesses, as I like to say. Does that sound about right? Yeah. So go check everything out over there. We got our week, we're at week five. It's ridiculous. Week five preview. Every game's a Saturday game. And cherish this week, because Josh, you told me before, there are just three games next week. So,
yep.
And they start at the same time for some reason.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that later, but we'll just dive right into it. So Utah State, UConn. No introduction. We're diving into games here. CBS Sports Network, 10 a.m. local time for those in Logan, noon for the Huskies, who are 0-4. That's safe to say, Josh. Jim Moore Jr. is not doing quite well in year two at UConn, or year three, whatever it is for UConn. He is struggling to be nice. They can't do much.
They are what CSU was last year. They have not scored above 17 points all year.
How is that possible? Are they?
They're averaging less than 300 yards a game.
I know. I did a Q&A. I'm about to post. I can pull it up here. So I have some details for the just the guys over at the UConn blog to see what's going on, because they don't seem to have much going for them. Because last year they're actually decent, but their offense seems to be dreadful, which is kind of what Utah State wants, right? Because Utah State can't move the ball, can't do anything very well besides play like a good second half like they did versus Air Force and James Madison. They just they don't start very well. There's a problem with the Aggies there.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't keep an eye on it, but I think the thing I took away from that, and I put it in our Twitter chat, the JMU coach tried to pull a Patrick Beverly with the camera.
I know. Well, what was up with that? Like, trying to show on his phone they're something out of bounds when they're winning big?
Like, yeah, it was like early second quarter, too. So
it was so weird. It's like, I saw that, and he's like, pretty well, I know. It's safe that you can't look at the scoreboard, like the in-stadium replay you can't use. But, like, that was the weirdest thing in the game. But and the funny thing is, so one question I asked Amin, but UConn blog. I'm like, so what's changed from last year? They're 0-4. They went to bowl game last year. Like, well, hard to know. But they have many working theories. The simple one, which we mentioned, offense isn't very good. I guess the big one thing they have, because last year they brought in like Taquan Roberson when they, because this is the second time they played last year as well, obviously. Yeah. And they figured, like with many new quarterbacks who play, he'd get better after the first year. Well, no. And did you know he put in there, because you mentioned how many points he scored? They haven't scored a touchdown in the first half of the game since the first drive of the season opener. That can't be good. Is my math right? Is that bad?
I don't even think CSU was that bad.
No, that they just he's going nuts. Like, they can't score points. Their defense that they have, like, defense is terrible. Losing to Duke 41-7 is not whatever, because Duke's actually pretty good. Like, there's a chance they could beat Notre Dame this weekend, hosting them with Gabe Van Tal. Like, they could beat. I think there's a potential chance. But I think this UConn team is kind of back to what they were. I don't know. Who was your coach before? Bob Diaco? A couple years ago?
I honestly don't remember.
It was that bad?
Well, for some reason I thought Maryland hired away their coach, and then for some reason I thought he went back.
Oh, Randy Etzel. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
Etzel.
and then they hired Jim Mora. If there was someone in between, I just forgot.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame you. One thing I remember about Edsel is, like, you get a bonus for, like, winning the coin toss. He got random $5,000 bonuses for anything he did. But this team is terrible. Like, take one off, Roberson, three touchdowns all year. The running game, outside of, like, a big 70-yard run, has, like, 400 yards, like, getting 100 yards a game. He's getting sacked, both quarterbacks, and they put in Joseph Ogbio or Roberson, the sophomore. I don't think Utah State's defense is that good, Josh, but I'm like, this might be a game where it's like a get right to figure things out. Like, hey, actually, they're going to be pretty good. They'll be 2-3 after this game, because they'll get to the quarterback like a couple times.
I don't see it. I mean, UConn's won the past couple meetings between the teams. I think Utah State's finally found a quarterback in Hillstead. I mean, I don't know how good UConn's defense is. It's, I mean, there's looks like there's a 60-yard difference, but I don't know how much that's going to matter. I think with the consistent use of Hillstead, similar to how CSU switched to Brady Fowler Nicolosi, I think having that consistent presence that's allowed the offense to, you know, do something is going to help them in this game.
Yeah, you would think after him playing half a game with the Air Force, like he's played opponents, happy on the defense. James Madison's pretty good. They're undefeated still at the moment. But when we look at what does, it's I'm looking to see how good this is now. So the first to be passed, the set might be something. I'm trying to hear if that's it. Next, so 13. There's a Florida's about 100th in the nation, so it's not. I tried to give him a little bit of something there, Josh. I'm like, yeah, maybe they'll do something here that they have a game. Like, go get these top receivers, go ahead and play some of the year. I know it's start time. He's a different game, but the official is a start time. But there's a difference. Like, they're by far, I think, just because move off and give a decent amount of defense. Like, he did. There's a little bit of five sacks, Mark. Like, no interceptions, no force, only one fumble recovery. So they only have one turnover they've recovered all year. That's ridiculous with that.
Yeah, I don't see how they definitely, I think, I don't remember if it was you or Matt that tweeted it out, but you brought up the stat about how they're very good in not, maybe it was UNLV, but I think it applies to Utah State too, is they seem to do okay in non-conference. And then once they get to conference play, they nosedive. But considering this is their last non-conference game, maybe they'll actually show us something.
They're starting to take one role. The only change is a couple. Do Utah State some individual players? Like, we think he'll say, I want to be able to play. Like, Devon Booth's pretty good. Like, Faison, I want to see if those guys can get going. And Hillstead, just like Hillstead. She's a game and a half. He almost doubled Cooper Legault's numbers already. He has 7 TDs to 3. The only concern, he's been sacked. Well, he's been sacked 9 times in a game and a half, so that's not good. So that could be something if UConn can provide pressure, but they haven't done that all year. But I want to see guys like Ike Larson do something defensively. MJ Tafasi, keep it going. I want to see if, like, receiver, besides if anybody else besides Terrell Vaughn could step up to his 38 catches and 6 TDs. I'm like, okay, Micah Davis, 10. Jalen Rolls, 10, 19. It's like, give me somebody else.
Yeah.
I feel like Micah Davis is 30% touchdown rate every time he catches the ball, and he averages 23.5 yards a catch.
I feel like that's going to happen because I think UConn's going to bracket coverage Vaughn all day. I mean, he has, what, almost 40% of the yards and the majority of the catches. So, yeah, I was like, someone else is going to have to step up for the Aggies.
Yeah, he has probably like 39% reception, 38 for 101 for the team for his, and 347 to 1,074 is like 35%, 33, whatever. A lot to not much anybody else, and most and half the touchdowns passing. So it's minus 6 for you, Dustin. Is that something you're confident in? I kind of want to stay away from this game in that aspect overall, no matter what.
I said they were going to lose to Idaho State, and then they blew them out by 50.
whoops, that's bad.
What was – do you remember the line on the James Madison game?
I think it's 5.5 for James Madison.
And then, I mean, then they lost by 7. So I don't know. I feel like – I always say there's a trap game of the week in the Mountain West. I said it was – I thought it was – would give it like potentially. I thought it was New Mexico, Wyoming, even though it's a 14-point spread. But I could see this being a trap game as well, just in betting purposes.
Yeah, it's like I could see them win by 10, like winning 30-20. I could see it maybe even a blowout, but wouldn't shock me if Utah State just fumbles it away like last week and have a like they have a bad first half, they're down 17-3, end up winning like 24-20. Yeah. I could totally see that. I'm comfortable for the under, but I don't know, 51. But I go Utah State. I think they'll win. I do think they'll cover, but I'm not gonna do it for real money. But I think they'll win 30-20.
Yeah, Utah State's definitely gonna win. UConn's just a bad team. So
very bad. You got score prediction? Do you go for that again?
I'm not touching that.
That's fine. Okay. Boise State at Memphis. ESPN2. 2 Mountain Time, 4 Eastern. A weird non-conference game. Also, that's a weird start time. 2 o'clock or 4 o'clock Eastern. That's kind of a weird time, right?
Maybe there's just nothing going on this week.
Who knows? I just thought that's weird because usually they have like the 10 Mountain, 1:30 Mountain. So who knows? Maybe they're starting half an hour later. So it's obviously on the road out there at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Do you have any – we'll get to everything here, but why is Memphis a field goal favorite, 3.5? I know it's a home team, and Boise does have issues.
They've only lost to Mizzou, and it was by 7 points.
I know, but they also barely beat Navy by 4.
Yeah, but it's Navy.
I know, they only won by 4. That's why they won by 4.
I mean, Navy's always been a thorn in everyone's side. I mean, didn't they beat UCF like 2 years ago? And everyone's like, where the hell did this come from?
Yeah, sure. Okay. So, is this weekend if he's going to be there or not? Not that it matters, because if we saw Ashton Gentry, he could just carry 5 players on his back and still score and go 30 yeah. more yards.
That
does
is
it matter? Does it matter if he plays?
I don't know. I think they do need both Gigi and Helani back just to split the duties, because if you just run one, it's going to wear them out and you're not going to get there at the end of the year. And then there's the statistic. I think it's still true that if Helani has over 100 yards, Boise's undefeated. The problem is Helani can't stay healthy.
See, I've been saying that for years. I'm like, get him healthy. When he's good, he tears it up. Much as he and just being smothered and tackled and carrying guys forever. They were out in Washington, obviously. And then last week, they took them. And I don't think San Diego State would be good, man. I'm sorry, I don't think they're any good. And they squeaked by San Diego State in the second half. Like, I kept it close. And so, Boise can't. That was a big issue last week. And that's like the only time I believe San Diego State had rushing yards or did well. Because if you're at their down, it's 35, like, you gotta stop. That's your big, put your money down. You gotta stop everybody. And they were unable to do so on third down more often than not. Because San Diego State was 7-13 on third down. So, and Aztecs were bad on third down as well. And so that's one of their biggest things for stick defense. And that's one of the biggest things that we should be a state guy. It's like, well, can we get our defense off the field and just hand the ball off to Gentry every time? But I don't know, man. Seth Hennigan, he's pretty good. 1,000 yards already. 1,100 yards through, what, 4 games? It's pretty good.
Yeah, 4 games.
Really good, actually.
Okay, yeah, and really good. And I mean, so this, Memphis is averaging 279 passing yards a game, which is good for 33rd in the nation. And then Boise's giving up almost 300 yards through the air. I feel like San Diego State. Yeah, hold on. Let me check what Maiden had. Maiden had 241. And then they threw. Who's Martin Blake? He's a running back. They had a running back pass go for 32 yards. So they gave up 270 yards through the air to the Aztecs.
Yeah. And we look at Memphis, like, they spread it around pretty good, so that'll be because, like, they have 7 different guys with a touchdown pass reception. Rock Taylor's really good, but they give it to him. They give Blake Watson, and here's the thing, too, you mentioned running back pass, Josh. Like, Blake Watson is his first on the team reception for 24, and he leads the team direction. He has almost 600 total yards and 5 touchdowns. So he's one of those burst of guys, like, okay, how are you going to stop him? So we thought the Boise defense would be really good this year. But the secondary, which the JL Skinner, and others, I believe. It's like, oh, they'll be fine. They're out there. But the experience when they played last year, these backups, they weren't there for – they didn't play a lot. They just kind of got time here and there. And so I expect a lot of passing. I think this will be a high-scoring game. Because I think Boise – because it's true, it's 59.5, which is reasonably high for the most part. I believe it's the highest of the weekend if I'm looking at it right here. Yeah, highest with the Mountain West. There's going to be points. But then again, we thought when UCF played Boise, it was, what, 60-something, and ended up being 34 total points. But I don't know. I think Boise's going to move the ball as well because what Memphis kind of gives up, it'll be there. I think it'll be there for them because 10 sacks is pretty good for four games. I think 2.5, that's about average in the country. But they're giving up 34 to Missouri, 24 to Navy. Defense is fine. I just think this could be like the UCF game, but actually scoring a few more points. So it's kind of back and forth.
I'm
kind of leaning that way. I think.
Don't trust Talen Green that much. I feel like he's not making the right reads when he's out there. I feel like if we're actually looking at, like, just as a pure quarterback, because Talen Green is a great dual threat, but he's not there as a passer yet. I feel like Boise's going to need to pass to actually have success, and I feel Maddox Mason is the person to actually get them there.
Is that what you're saying?
I mean, we saw Utah State go with a short person, or shorter quarterback, excuse me. So it could work for what? It could work for Boise.
I don't know. I think part of it is that, but we're like, who's the receiver? There's no Tyrese Young or Khalil Shakir. There's no elite guys who can catch the ball. It's like, oh, they got six guys. Like, tight end Riley Smith isn't doing anything for tight end. He's still, like, think about it, he's still learning, right? Played majority last year and to be the starter after four games. He played all year, and then he had the offseason. We figured he'd be better than this already. I get it, Washington, I don't care, but UCF, he should have done something. And when you look at what he's done so far for the year, like, he's only four touchdowns and four picks. He's not explosive at all. And the receiver, while he's getting to Eric McAllister, but okay. Stephen Cobbs, they're doing okay when he catches the ball. It's like he's just not, he's only 53%. So, like, when he completes the passes, they're actually reasonably good for how far it goes, like, how far the play goes, 10, 20, 30, whatever it may be. But he's just not accurate enough. And the offensive line is actually the thing we're always concerned about the past multiple years. He's only given up three sacks, and he still can't do anything.
Yeah, then I think that's everyone's concern is, like, you have this great athlete, but can he actually make the plays? And I don't think he can. And I'm not saying this as from a biased perspective. I actually enjoy Boise State. I watched their games if CSU isn't on. He just isn't making the right reads to advance the offense enough for me to be confident in them.
Could that be a Dirk Cutter thing since he's out there? See, this year he stepped in last year for the 1 year trial, whatever the 1 year just helped out.
I don't think the issue is because, I mean, Talen Green has gone through, what, three offensive coordinators in 2 years? He has to have some consistency. It's like, yeah. I don't think the issue is play calling. I think it's Talen's understanding of the offense. And we've seen that throughout the Mountain West at certain times where a player, you know, they made the change from one offensive coordinator to another. And they don't know, they can't really understand what they need to be looking at. And I feel once Talen has more time in this offense, he will be fine.
Yeah, part of it too. I remember when in the NFL, people like Alex Smith, he had an offensive coordinator. The only time he was good, we had North Turner, he was really good. But I think he had like six OCs in his first 5 years. And like, no wonder the guy struggles. Like, if you have a different. Every change the system just enough. Like, I don't think we grow there. I didn't mean to kind of like play clock, but he had him for most of the year. He's like, well, I'm only helping you guys out. But, man.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
But like Memphis could score. They have one of the better, like, their quarterbacks. Good, like they can make, they can move the ball, and they, like the Missouri game. Like I said, they are, what's Missouri, number 20 in the country right now, 25 somewhere in there. They won the 67 yard field goal last week. I just think that they're gonna, oof. Like I think Hennigan's gonna eat this defense alive. Possibly, I know the five picks aren't great, and so maybe that's Boise's chance. But like their secondary is not very good. So I think he could have, because this year he's done, like he, Missouri had a really good pass defense, and he threw for over 300 yards.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Is Boise going to be 1-4? Or I mean, excuse me, 2-3?
They might
be. Pull this off?
I'm taking Memphis to win and cover.
Oh. I agree with you. I think it'll be. Sorry, my internet's yelling at me in the other room. Sorry, I heard something. Boy, I think it's going to be 30-23 for Memphis. And Pete Boise, if fans get this, okay, Josh, is that okay? Nothing to do, right?
Yeah.
Next, we have Hawaii at UNLV for. Okay, do you know what the actual trophy name for this game is?
And I swear we have this conversation every year. I like to call it.
I want to bring it
I
up.
I like to call it the golden pineapple because it is. I didn't like the.
Yeah. Or
is, no, I think it's. Oh, it's the Ninth Island Trophy, right?
Yeah, but it's dumb. You're handing out the golden pineapple. That's what it should be.
Yeah.
So, I'll say it every time I do this. When these two teams play, that's what it should be called. And who do I call? Do I call the governor of Nevada or something? Or who makes this decision?
I don't know. I don't even know, because it's not. It's a recent thing too. Like within the past 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe even five. But yeah, it's pretty recent. So, you know, these 11-point favorites. Not sure if Doug Brunfield will play because he's been out last week. And he's been actually getting half. So, 11 points is a lot for if you're not having your starting quarterback.
Yeah.
But then again, Hawaii, they don't run the ball ever and can't run the ball ever against this team.
And then UNLV, all UNLV does is run the ball. Because all they have is Jake Thomas.
That's all you need, right?
Yeah.
That's all, like, against this Hawaii team here. Like, the rushing attack is like when the truck wagon, and Charles Williams, like, this rejuvenated rushing attack is what's helping them out, especially if you don't have Doug Brumfield. And so, this is something where I think, from what we've seen for what watching Hawaii, because when you have the run and shoot, the run part's optional, it seems like, for them. Because Brandon Shager is doing okay throwing the ball, but that's not enough. If they can't stop any of what they're doing. Yeah, I know they beat Mexico State last week. Oregon doesn't matter. Lose to Stanford. Lose to Vanderbilt. Their rush defense. This is one thing. I'm able to rephrase that. The Vanderbilt game, if we want to go back a month if we believe what happened then, they actually did a good job slowing down the run for UNLV, or excuse me, for Vanderbilt in that game. So I'm looking right now. They only allowed 39 yards rushing. So, is a pair where they could be pretty good, I think. And it's hard to take the full stats. Like, okay, they play Oregon. Great. Cool. But when you play an FCS team, a giant juggernaut of a Oregon, it's kind of hard to figure out exactly what's good and not good for this team. What I know it's not good, and what I know about Scottie Josh, but Hawaii's given up 19 sacks this year. 19!
Yeah, and I mean, for as good as Braden has been, you know, throwing for nearly 1,400 yards, 12 touchdowns. He actually, if you look at the advanced stats, yeah, I'm going to be that nerd. He's the quarterback in the Mountain West. He has a 22.9 QBR rating. So I don't.
Those six picks don't help.
Yeah. I mean, he has a 21.4 expected points added on pass attempts with low leverage plays that are down weighted. So, I mean, he's good there, but everything else just isn't good. I mean, it's basically saying that it's basically non passing downs, he's okay. But then when he's expected to make a play, he can't.
That seems right, because those six picks come into play. He doesn't run very well. And you would think if you have – it also depends on team's rushing, because if you're going four wide in the back, if teams are going to bring six or seven and play single coverage, that's tough to combat, but that's not always the case. But going back to, you know, about the rush defense, if you look at the overall, they're like 4.5 yards given up. And if you take away the Oregon game, it's a little bit less than that. So I think that is an area where if they're going to get it done, they got to stop whoever's running the ball for UNLV. But I don't know how consistent they could be in that aspect. Because when you look at, like, overall, they have like 4.6. But Oregon game is like 7.5. Like, okay, that's potentially still pretty good. It's middle of the pack of the conference. Without playing the Pirates, they're probably higher than that. But you mentioned what UNLV does running the ball. It's like, well, they're actually quite successful, and they're a huge favorite anyway, like double digits. Their FPI is a 76% win probability, which I don't know. But like, Jed Thomas had 4 touchdowns last week versus UTEP as a freshman. I know UTEP's not great. And they, like, when Josh said UNLV, have you seen what they scored this year, Josh? They have 3 games of 40 plus points. This is probably the best offense since, like, Randall Cunningham, probably, it seems like.
I mean, I think, you know, Barry Odom's brought in, you know, a bunch of changes to the program. He's finally got them reinvigorated, and he's playing to his players' strengths. He's getting them into the right position, and they're making plays. So that's all that really matters.
It's a Brennan Marion effect, go-go offense, right? Like, Ricky White's finally picking up with 16 catches. They don't have the passing game's not there, partially, okay. Doug Brunfield, okay. Jaden Amavi has been okay. They don't complete the highest percentage, almost 60% overall, but they're fine. You know what I mean? Like, they only have one passing touchdown all year, which will catch up to them for a team that's going to be a fringe bowl game. But then again, Thomas has 7 touchdowns. They have 14 rushing touchdowns. They're going to do their best to run and run. And if Hawaii can step up and do what they did versus Vanderbilt, because think of this way. They played each team, right? They played them both close. UNLV won. Hawaii did not versus Vanderbilt. So there's some comparison there for how those games played out. If Hawaii's rush defense can do anything and slow down Jet Thomas or Vincent Davis, they have a shot in this game, because the passing game, I'm not confident for UNLV.
I agree with you. I'm not confident. I think UNLV's passing offense does just enough to keep the defenses honest against the run game. So it's going to take a truly, truly shut down defensive passing game to really have an effect. I don't think Hawaii's going to be able to do that. I know you said they did it against Vanderbilt. I don't think they're going to be able to do it again, especially with 5 games on film.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, maybe if they could. That's their best hope, I'm giving that, where they probably won't. But I think there'll be some resistance there. So they can hold them, like, on first and second down. So, like, okay, you got a path. It's not 3rd-and-3. But your point's right. It's a couple games for both teams. Okay, who's done just the film study and watching how well or just the tendencies of these teams. But I think Shager will have a big game passing the ball. I think that's a legit possibility, because UNLV's defense, okay, they've given up 37 to Vanderbilt, 20 to UTEP. Michigan doesn't matter. Bryant doesn't matter. The games that matter, they're giving up over 30 points a game. So there's a high possibility Shager could have a pretty big game, and this would be, I think it'd be a high-scoring game. Every game UNLV has been, it's been high-scoring. The outside of the Michigan game. So I'm trying to pull up with the over-hitters, but I think I'm going UNLV's going to win. They're at home as well. And also, we should mention, this game's on Spectrum Sports, the pay-per-view game. So, and I guess they're here in the mainland. It's what, the Team One Sports app, I believe. We need to mention that so people can find out. But I think it'll be, I'm going to go 40-28 UNLV. Big win.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. I think UNLV has enough offensive juice to get it done. UNLV will, it'll be a slow start, but it'll eventually pick up in the end.
So we're talking about a 4-1 UNLV team if they can take care of business.
What's their, who do they have after this? They have Nevada next. That's a win. And then they kind of run the gauntlet. So they got to toss up with CSU. They got to play Fresno. New Mexico's probably going to win. Then Wyoming, Air Force, and San Jose State, which San Jose State is now a toss-up when it wasn't at the beginning of the year. I mean, I could potentially see them 5, 6, 7. I could potentially see 8.
Wow. 8? We'll discuss this later, but 4, 5, 6. Yeah, man. I don't think they win all the toss-ups, so if they split the toss-up, they're 6-6, which would be amazing for them. Yeah. So keep an eye on that game. All right, next year, New Mexico at Wyoming, Mountain West Network, 2 p.m. local time. Wyoming is a 2-touchdown favorite and the line's 41 points.
So
that's ridiculous.
No one has paid attention. No one in the sports books has paid attention to Craig Bull's record against New Mexico.
Not good.
Craig Bull, since 2014, he is 4-5.
So you're taking New Mexico win outright, is that what you're telling me right now?
I did on our pick sheet.
Whoa! Explain yourself.
I mean, all right. I took UMass to cover against New Mexico last week, and yeah. New Mexico at one point was up 21-7.
Ooh, so, yeah. You're sweating there, weren't you?
I mean, the only reason Wyoming has won games this year has been their defense. We can look at you can shout the Texas Tech game at me all you want. They scored 15
Texas
points.
Texas Tech sucks.
Texas Tech sucks. Wyoming's offense scored 15 points in the overtimes. They scored 20 points during regulation. I don't think they've, outside of, you know, a lot the blocked field, I don't think their offense, I'm talking offense specifically, because their defense and special teams have been great. It's won them games. Their offense, I don't think, can hold up.
Well, it doesn't help. DQ James is no longer on the team, running back. So that's not helpful. But then here's the funny thing. This is like, just clarifies. It's like, no, I didn't break up with you. It's like, you're not breaking up with me. I'm breaking up with you. He puts on Twitter, I didn't get kicked off the team. I'm in the portal. I did not get kicked off the team. He's trying to save. Who knows what happened? But it's always funny. It's like, it's not. No, I'm breaking up with you. It's not the case. It's like, you know, I'm not fired. I quit. So he put on like 5 times. Like, I didn't get kicked off into the portal. I'm not kicked off the team. And so Harrison Whaley, clearly number one running back. But that hurts because DQ was a solid running back last year and everything. And then this year, the running back situation has been weird. But take away any weapons that Wyoming has offensively, yikes.
Yeah.
And
If one of those running backs goes down, I think our Wyoming guy Andrew said is like, one of them goes down, they're screwed. They don't have an offense. Looking at the app. I don't know. I mean, you said Harrison Whaley is top, but I think if he goes down, I don't think they have an offense.
No, they don't. And the only thing I would say, maybe not so fast, because every time Craig Bull always finds a running back, Titus Wen, DQ last year, they always find some guy.
He's going to pull a linebacker over. Maryland did it.
Okay. Why not? I do find this interesting because I can't read the article because it's paywalled, but Cowboys quote, working hard to improve passing game, entering Mountain West opener. Like, yeah. Oh crap, you gotta work hard. You guys can't throw the ball. And me and Matt mentioned all the time when I was mentioning our DMs and Andrew, Jesse, it's always like, Craig Bull, quit lying to us in spring when you say you're throw the ball more. You never throw the ball more. Never going to happen.
I brought this up in our group chat. I'm like, Andrew Teasley has to have something on Craig Bull to still have a starting job.
Last week, real quick, 5 of 15, 31 yards passing, and interception.
I mean, so I mean, he has to have something on Craig Bowl to still have the starting job. There's just no rhyme or reason that Evan Svoboda is not the starting quarterback.
Like, at least try something. But the thing is, you know, he doesn't know they're winning and doing fine. Like, they're a team that could probably win 9 games.
I mean, maybe. Depends on how far their defense could take them.
I mean, like, they get score points for spring. You know, like, this next stretch, like, they're going to – I think they'll beat New Mexico, but, like, not to look ahead. We'll come back to talk Lobos because Phil Hopkins is a pretty good QB. They got Fresno, Air Force, Boise. They could lose a couple of those, two on the road. Like, Hawaii, fine. Nevada, fine. Probably CSU. Sorry to put that out there, but I think so. Maybe. UNLV will be interesting on the road, but they're going to be fine all these games, be rock fine for half of them. I don't think they can do it versus Fresno, but I wonder if Dylan Hopkins, because what's up there, PFF, Dylan Hopkins, like the number one QB in the conference? Is that what we saw that Sports West put up there? Or Super West, Sports, whatever it's called?
Yeah, let me find that QBR stat real quick to see where he is.
Yeah, I don't remember if it's QBR or if it was probably a message here, but Hopkins, like the offense, we're wondering because he came over from UAB and everything. And if you're okay, him, the head coach, who should have got the job over Trent Dilfer, and now he's hanging out in New Mexico, moving their offense, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, we were saying the stats for Braden aren't matching up with the advanced stats. Well, the stats for Hopkins kind of are, because his QBR is 65.6, which is good for second in the Mountain West. So they might have found something on that side of the ball, you know, finally.
And also, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt's doing amazing. 7 TDs, holy crap, like he had an awesome game last week when they beat the rival. They throw the ball to a bunch of different people. 7 players have at least 6 catches and touchdowns as well. He throws it to whoever's open. And then when they can run the ball with Kroski-Merritt there, I think he had, 4 touchdowns last week? Was it something? I had it in front of me. But I think the offense is coming together for the first time in a while for New Mexico. He had, who did last week? Oh, he had 2 last week. That's right. He had 3 versus Tennessee Tech. But he had 9 carries, 2 touchdowns. So, like, his yardage isn't amazing. But when he touches the ball, he moves it for – 7 yards, 7 touchdowns. And so I do think versus Wyoming, like, I think you're right. Like, for some reason, Bulls struggled versus Lobos. I don't know why. But if Lobos' offense can break through, like tell me if I'm way out there. If New Mexico gets 21 points, what probability would you give them if they could score 3 touchdowns?
If New Mexico gets 3 touchdowns, I'll give them 65.
Okay. Do you think they can get 3 touchdowns, though? Do you think they'll be able to score 21 points on this Wyoming team?
That I don't know, because let me look at some of their other games. But, I mean, the UMass game, it looks like they went for ball control and didn't do that well because they only – I mean, they had 330 yards. They only threw the ball 17 times. But that I don't think was that big of a deal. Like, if you look at the stats comparing New Mexico and Wyoming, they seem to do the same types of offense, but New Mexico is better at passing the ball. Like, it seems like they're okay at passing the ball, whereas Wyoming just outright sucks. so, I mean, because what is Hopkins at? Hopkins is at 827 yards for the year. So, I mean, yeah. He's... They do throw the ball sometimes. I mean, they threw it 40 times against New Mexico State. But if it's really, really funny if you look at Dylan Hopkins' stats. I realize they played Texas A&M the one game, and then their other losses to New Mexico State. Their 2 wins, Hopkins had less than 20 passing attempts. Their 2 losses, he had more than 20 attempts.
So he had to in New Mexico State.
Yeah.
I would say the concern is that he needs to be a bit better at completing passes. So I think they'd want him to throw it. I bet he'd probably want to be more of the stat line outside the yardage, what he did versus Texas A&M. we're at 15-24. It seems like that's they want to keep him right around that 20 passing range mark. And New Mexico State one because they're trailing, trying to come back. I think that's why he threw almost 40 times. And that game, obviously, the more he threw, the worse he did. If you look at all the numbers, like the percentage-wise, and it just matches up. Like when he starts throwing a bit more, it's not. I guess Texas A&M is a little different story, but that game it's hard to know what's really going on. He doesn't run the ball all well, but I think if he throws 20 times, that's fine. But versus Wyoming, can you allow your two running backs to just kind of get beat up and trying to move the ball where it might take a lot to move a little?
I mean, they had against UMass, they had 6 different ball carriers.
It's UMass. Okay, go ahead.
Against, let's look at New Mexico State, they had 5. And then Texas A&M, because we'll ignore Tennessee Tech, they had 5 again. So they're spreading the carries around. It's not like they're concentrating on one ball carrier. And Dylan Hopkins is getting some rushes in too. It's long on the gears, almost 20 yards. So they have the ability to spread the ball around both through the air and on the ground. And I think that ability plays into the Wyoming has a strong defense, but the ability to spread the ball around causes problems for them.
Yeah, they have like 3 main running backs. Like it maybe Washington get going, it's not good. But then I think it's a bad approach. I mean, there's gonna be a good point. That's why I'm not going to point. If it's gonna be you can mention they play them close all the time for some reason. But I'm gonna go 20-10 Wyoming. Not many points.
I'll go 21-17 New Mexico.
Oh man, you were out there. That's all good. Next game, your callers, Utah Tech, Mouse Network, not on this game. What do you want to see?
I just want to see him make plays. I mean, if we're going back to the PFF versus QBR, PFF says Brave Toto Nicolosi sucks, but that's fine. They could say he sucks all he wants. He makes plays. Yeah, he's a freshman. He's going to make mistakes, but he makes the plays. He's learning from the mistakes when they happen, but he is the quarterback that needs to be there. He needs to learn in game situations. So I just want to see him make plays. I don't care if they're bad or good. I just want to see him make plays.
Like, he's completing passes 70%. Like, when they're forcing the ball to Troy Horton, not forcing him to give him the ball, he only had one drop or one complete to him, like, what, 15, 16, 16, 17? And, like, he's doing, yeah, 5 interceptions, whatever. This is a game where he should be able to put those numbers up. Also, can we say, is newcomer of the year already Dallin Holker? Is that where we're leading already?
Yes, he's the leading tight end in the nation. I will say that right now. I will also like to say that defensive player of the year is Muhammad Kamara.
Already? Maybe?
You sure? He's leading the nation in sacks per game. And if you watch the film against Middle Tennessee, the offense completely changed in the second half when he returned. Because you could tell that they were play calling away from him. And he still managed to get 2 sacks in that game.
Oh, he is good. He has 4 in the year, I think. Is that right?
He's officially – so – according to ESPN, he only has 4. CSU says he has 5. College Football Stats says he has 5. So that's why he's leading the nation in sacks per game. In total sacks, he's like tied for 2nd if we count the 5.
Yeah. He's good. I've been at ESPN for. But Don Holker, I remember when he transferred. Like, it was weird because he only has lots of tight end. Like Isaac Rex is doing a good job there. And I'm like, he's a good guy. I'll take him 2nd. It took like literally 2nd, like 1 game to figure things out. Because he played a big role in the Colorado game. And Rams are known for tight ends, like Jerry McBride and stuff like that. So him being 4 touchdowns on the year, making clutch plays, that fumble is unfortunate in the Colorado game. But this game, they should roll over Utah Tech. And this should be where Fowler Nicolosi has like no picks. improves everything on for his whole game. This is a game where they should. I think the Rams, like, I think they can get a bowl game. I don't know. I know it's still early. It's only game three. And they're going to win this game. I don't think there's any doubt either of us are going to pick the Trailblazers now, I think.
Yeah.
But you're right. I just want to see them make plays, have a clean game. So they'll probably win, like, 10.
Yeah, I think CFB home said 51-9. So, yeah, 50-10 sounds right. What I really want to see, I want to see backups in the fourth quarter. I want to see this team have a complete game against an FCS team because we've sucked against FCS teams the past 2 years. I want to see it get to the point where they put backups in.
Yeah, and obviously, open passing game, good guys. Do you want to see Clay Millen maybe show up in the fourth quarter?
I doubt they put him in. I want to see who would they put in? I'd either like to see Giles Pooler or the freshman, Jackson Brousseau.
Listen, because Clay Millen's obviously not a starter anymore. If they put in those other guys, is Millen hitting the portal pretty soon?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, that's fair to say. That's why I was thinking, figure out the backup situation if he gets in. Like, if he does, it's like, okay, you're clearly – he would be – I mean, my assumption was if – the starter goes down, they would put Millen in, but in this type of game, we don't want to play him really. Is that a fair assessment?
I think so. Yeah. If Brig Fowler goes down, I think Clay Millen comes in. But in this game specifically, I don't think he plays if BFM doesn't go down.
Whatever. This game preseason, this would be like the game. San Diego State at Air Force. Somewhere. 6 local time there at Colorado Springs. Oh, man. Am I right in saying San Diego State's a bad football team?
Yes.
I like your fast answer there. You're like, yes.
I mean, the only reason that it was even close against Boise, because Boise is a mid-team.
Yeah, they're not great. Yeah, besides Ash and Gensi, they're just okay. So wait, so what does San Diego State do good? Like, I'm serious. I try to figure this out. What are they good at?
Being bad? Oh, I mean, because, like, there was a real possibility that San Diego State could be 0-5 at this point.
Well, yeah. The only reason they lost to Ohio because Rourke got injured and then finished the game.
Yeah.
And Idaho State... They win by 8, but Utah State put up 78 on them.
Yeah.
I do see potential. The problem with them is, we've heard us talk about before this show and other for the years, and especially this year. They haven't had a good running back since Graham Bell the first half of 2020. That's 3 seasons. Their defense is good, but not elite. So if they don't have an elite defense and the running game is subpar, we know what their passing game is. It's not great. Then they're a team that's going to struggle to do anything well overall. I was hoping that with Ryan Lindley calling the plays, Jalen Maiden getting a full, similar to Taylen Green and those good guys who came in partway through the year, it would show improvement. So early, he still could. But Maiden has been sacked a lot of times because he runs it big. His offensive line isn't good, which is also another concern for historical purposes the past 6 years for San Diego State, where they've always had a good offensive line, great running backs, and defense. Losing guys like Patrick McMorris to Cal doesn't help. They don't have too much resistance up front. 8 sacks this year is just okay. Like, Zaris Vassi is pretty good. You have Cooper McDonald, obviously, doing good things. And Cody Moon's like, okay, he'll get some tackles, but he's had no sacks or TFLs this year. And didn't he call for targeting to get kicked out for game 2, I believe? I think in the opener, I want to say. You remember?
I thought it was a more recent one.
I'm not sure, but like Cody Moon hasn't really lived up coming in from New Mexico. And so if we see what Boise State did running the ball, we against them last week, and now they're taking on Air Force. Dude, Air Force is going to go crazy, right? Jeff Eldridge, whoever they give the ball to back there. Like, yeah. Falcons are given an 80% chance to win the game. 80%!
The only thing I will give them is they are good at forcing turnovers. Because their turnover ratio is 0, And considering they've thrown five interceptions and lost five fumbles. Well, let me take that back a minute. Eight of those turnovers are interceptions, and Air Force doesn't throw the ball.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, how are you going to get those?
Yeah, Air Force beat San Jose State last week 45-20. I'll give Air Force a similar score here.
That third quarter, third quarter, 21 points? The only way I could see, I think it's going to be, I don't think they'll get 45 points. That's the only thing. Their defense isn't great, but still, maybe I'm giving too much credit here, Josh. Maybe that's my concern. I think it'll be 30-10. Because the Air Force defense is legit. Aztecs don't run the ball well. Jalen Maiden leads them in rushing, which isn't good. He's running for his life back there. It's good. Dare I say, so can we give a bold receiver pick now and say Aztecs aren't going bowling, even though I projected them this past week to make a bowl game?
Let's look at their schedule.
So they have Air Force. Let's say that's a low. No. They'll beat Hawaii.
I'm saying Hawaii's a toss-up.
Okay. So let's just, okay, Hawaii, Nevada, yeah. Utah State.
I'll say yes.
Yeah, I can see them winning their next three after Air Force and being a very suspect 5-4. Colorado State. I'd say schedule's manageable to get to six, but it's going to be ugly.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there.
So it's like, I think they'll barely get, because like, from looking at it, probably Hawaii, Nevada, they should take five, and then out of USU, CSU, San Jose State, they can win one of those. But it's going to be the ugliest 7-5 team ever.
Probably.
The final game, Nevada at Fresno State. Can I just say it's going to be 100-0 when you're watching the game on FS1 at 7:30 Pacific?
Well, that depends on which Fresno State team shows up.
Field goals or touchdowns, right?
Yeah. Are we getting the team that played Kent State, or are we getting the team that forced 8 turnovers against Arizona State and only won 29-0?
Yeah, that's the big concern. I was chatting with these. I forget what the podcast is on. I'll share it on our MWCR Twitter. I was chatting with these guys earlier, these G5 guys. I'm like, they're like, what's your share of Fresno? I'm like, I try to think. I'm like, oh, they've beaten. They're opportunistic because they beat Purdue QB, new coach. Arizona State, new coach, quarterback injured. They played all these random guys. But they going +8 and only scoring 29 points. It is a concern to punch the ball in. But Nevada, literally has nothing. This game, the over-under is 49.5 points.
That's too low.
Fresno, that is beyond low. I think they're over-exaggerating or overreacting, like you mentioned from the prior games, about the Wyoming, New Mexico, where they're not sure what's going on because of the Arizona State game. I think Fresno can get the 50 on their own if they want to.
Oh, absolutely.
But I could see Nevada, Nevada probably put 14 points maybe. But Fresno's defense is legit. Cam Locker, they got guys back. They got players on defense where Nevada, what's Lewis going to do? What are these running backs going to do? What's the worst team in college football. It's what is Brandon Lewis going to do? He has no passing touchdowns on the year. They have Brandon Lewis leads the team with, and they played, I'll make sure this is correct, 4 games. Their leading rusher has 171 yards, and it's your quarterback.
To be fair, the leading running back is only 10 yards behind.
I don't care if Sean Dollar is $10 yards behind. Still, that they're 3 been sacked 7 times. Jamal Bell, solid receiver for sure. They do have some big plays like Delavon Campbell has a 50 yarder. Spencer Curtis and Jamal Bell both have over 70 yard passes. They do have some deep explosive plays. And that's how the Bucs maybe get 14 points here. Are you telling me you're Cam Walkers? What's going to happen back there? They get a bit of pressure, 8 sacks, but they don't move the ball to score. And to be able to score some points, man.
Yeah.
I'm cool if you're playing for sure, good amount over. Because they've had nothing. They got their butt kicked 33-6. Kansas, it's also a weird game for Kansas to play a 10-30 local kick for them going out of the batter. They scored 24 So that's why I think they get 14.
I don't know. I'm sticking with the 50-10. They may get a score, and it may be a fluke, but I think Fresno covers by themselves.
Interesting. 50-10 doesn't. Oh, the over, you mean? Yeah, sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
I could take both. I take the spread and over for Fresno. It's like they're going to just poof, take care of business. And before we go here. Oh, we've already been going 50 minutes, man. I thought this would be a quick one. My mistake. I apologize. Maybe I don't. I don't know. We're doing good things. We'll save this for next time if Fresno Air Force wins. Because, yeah, I'm not going to jinx it, so we'll talk next time about this, okay, about how good those two teams can be. Anything else to add for the week here? Since we're wrapping up our week by preview?
No, I think we covered it all. I think, you know, we got teams that are going to disappoint. We got teams that may surprise.
Wait, who's your big surprise? New Mexico over Wyoming? Is that your big surprise possibility? Yeah. Okay.
Your quick Absolutely. Answer.
Okay. We'll see. History says possibly. I think if we're looking surprised, I think Hawaii could make it close. But I don't know if they can keep up all the way. So, all right. This wraps up Week 5 Preview, MWR.com. Just head over there. Find all of our previews and all sorts of randomness we do throughout the week. And Twitter as well, because we do a lot there. Probably more at MWCWire. And we'll be back just down the road to recap this game. And it's Week 5. Watch your team. Be happy and hope they win.